I thought for the first question that I would ask how it's been about a year since CDW and Burby merged. How has that gone?
It's gone very well. We are coming up on our one-year anniversary on October 12th was the official date of closing. And our business has remained exceptionally strong. We are in the midst of a number of integration strategies and systems integrations and things like that. We've rolled out a number of nice tools to the Burby side of the equation, and similarly, we've taken some of our best practices and moved them over to the CDW side of the equation. So all in all, our revenue is up, our earnings are up, our headcount is up, so I'm pleased to say that we are declaring success in terms of the combination of these two companies.
Has it been seamless, or were there any hiccups?
Relatively seamless. I don't think you can go through a combination of two companies without having a few hiccups, and a lot of it ends up being some of the systems issues and just process differentials and things that force you to take a little bit of a pause and reanalyze sort of our business process versus their business process, understand some of the dynamics. I'd say some of the unique aspects that have been beneficial for us as a private going to a public organization, or at least a public framework, were some of the requirements of things like Sarbanes-Oxley, which require much more separation of duties in some of the financial areas, something that we had looked at but as a private company weren't required to implement, and frankly we weren't big enough to implement some of them, but now we've had to re-engineer some processes to adapt to a Sarbanes-Oxley compliant organization.
Were you in from the beginning on the merger? Did it take you by surprise? Or?
Oh no, we were going through a very calculated process here at Burby, and so it was a methodical and very process-driven in terms of looking at our alternatives, looking at the strategic opportunities for really customers first, clients second, shareholders third, and so we were really intimately involved in the whole process.
How has your job changed, if it has?
My job has expanded, which has been very interesting. From the one hand, managing the Burby side of the business really hasn't changed much, and we continue to have the exact same organizational structure and management team that we've always had. Secondarily, I've been able to expand in terms of being more involved on the CDW side of the equation, and that's really as a function of being part of their executive committee. So the only downside is my 2.5-hour drive to Chicago every other Monday morning, leaving Madison at 5 a.m., but that's okay.
Do you have to go to downtown Chicago?
Thankfully, they're in Vernon Hills, which is in the northern suburbs, so that helps a little bit, but you still hit a little traffic.
Could you talk specifically, if you can, about when you said the headcount's up and the number's up, can you talk about any of those numbers?
Yeah, in generalities, I unfortunately don't have the specific numbers, but I would guess our headcount growth is probably close to 20%, and our revenue growth is probably a little bit greater than that.
In the last year?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, our real value to our customers is our engineering workforce, so we've continued to expand dramatically our engineering capabilities and the associated sales coverage that we need to support that. So big investment in people, we're a people-oriented business, and so that is consistent with what our growth rates have been over the last 5 years, and we've just continued to expand and make those investments.
Has the expansion been any greater because of the merger with CDW, or...?
We're starting to look at a couple of opportunities where we can take advantage of some of the business verticals that CDW has. So, for instance, we're launching for 2008 a focus around a healthcare vertical where we've got a certain set of capabilities. There's a very strong relationship component that CDW account managers have with healthcare organizations around the country. And so we're going to build a go-to-market strategy around what is an IP-enabled nurse call capability. And so those are the types of what cross-sale opportunities that we're starting to roll out into the organization.
Can you talk a little bit about the groundbreaking that's going to happen today and what that means for the company?
Yeah, so today we're breaking ground on a new 70,000 square foot facility. About 30 of that is data center space. So we have been operating sort of enterprise class hosting and managed services facilities here in Madison and Minneapolis for the last 7 years. We're out of space, and so we're launching our third facility, which, given the tremendous increase in power and cooling requirements, is quite a step up in terms of capabilities relative to our current facility. and just expanding that business. We've seen a tremendous growth of companies looking to strategically outsource key applications or key products and services into a 24/7 managed services center. We've built a lot of tools and process and people around that, and it's really been an incredibly strong part of our business over the last couple of years, and so we're just really enabling the growth for the next couple of years as we add more square footage to be able to house customer equipment. Similarly, as I said, with the headcount growth, we're out of space, which has been our perennial problem as a high-growth company. And so we're getting out in front again by adding an additional 20,000 square feet of office space initially that will support some of the Madison operations, leaving our current building here at 5520 Research Park to be our hosting and managed services business. And that network operations center will support all three facilities, Madison 1, Madison 2, and Minneapolis. And then our Madison sales office will be here in this building, and then sort of our corporate staff, finance, accounting, marketing, things like that will be up in the new building.
Where will the new building be?
Yeah, we're only about a quarter mile up the road, so physically very close. We'll be able to have high-speed connectivity, direct fiber connection between the two buildings, so it will be a very high-tech, highly efficient data transfer between the two data centers, offering customers a lot of flexibility on disaster recovery and backup, as well as connectivity into our Minneapolis facility.
You mentioned that it's high energy use. There's a lot of interest in things being green,
yep,
as possible these days.
Yep.
How green is the center?
Well, I think data centers by their nature tend to be, you know, big energy users. I think they are, there's sort of multiple things that we're trying to do to address how do you build an energy efficient center. From the building itself, clearly computers generate a lot of heat, so there's some heat recovery capabilities around heating the facility. But most importantly, we're really working with customers to architect solutions that take advantage of virtualization. The vast majority of servers and storage devices that are used by our customers today are relatively underutilized. So customer in the marketing department wants a new application, they buy a server, they buy storage, and they run it at 4 or 5% utilization. So what we're encouraging customers to do is put virtual technology in place, which allows you to effectively dynamically provision a server and a storage environment so you can run at much higher utilization so you can effectively shrink your footprint. And it's not unusual for us to see customers be able to drop 75% of the equipment out of their production environment when they go to a new virtualized environment, which just has tremendous impact on energy utilization and energy usage. So it's really, while you can do a little bit with the building, the reality of it is the most advantageous is to architect systems correctly from the beginning.
If you do design a system like that, what could be the savings for a customer?
Oh, dramatic. I mean, it's dramatic on a number of levels. First of all, you're simply buying less equipment. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you have fewer software licenses because you're running fewer production boxes. And then the third thing is just the energy usage alone. And so 75% reduction in footprint generally equates to about a 75% reduction in some of the operating costs as well.
Wow. That's impressive. What percentage of your business is the data center storage management?
So hosting and managed services is about a quarter of our business today. And it's been growing at rates above the corporate average. So it's been a real healthy part of our business.
How does the rest of the company divide out?
The rest of the company is really into two other, you know, pieces of business, if you will. Our products and services business. So we have, again, a group of close to 400 billable engineers that are out working on customer projects. And then the other piece of it is sort of the related solutions that go with that particular project. So that's hardware, software, and maintenance services and things like that. So think of that about that piece of business, about 75% of our business, 25% into the hosting managed services business.
If you could look down the road 5 years, where do you think you'll be and what new things will?
Yeah, you know, I think our future is really more of the same. I think some of the products and solutions we'll be selling will be different, but fundamentally we're an infrastructure company. Companies continue to make significant investments in the products and services that we sell to enable all sorts of things, whether it's mobility for their workforce, whether it's work at home. The convergence of a lot of these devices is really creating a lot of demand to just have a really strong core infrastructure. And then what applications customers run off of that is sort of the special sauce that works for their individual organization. So I don't see that really changing very much. I think the trend that we're seeing is that there probably is a little bit more that's coming into the hosting and managed services centers. We can offer just a very robust and resilient and regulatory compliant environment for customers to operate key mission critical applications in, and that enables their people to go and work on other IT related initiatives. And I think it's a labor tight market. Staffing things 24/7 is expensive and difficult. We can do that better by sharing those costs across multiple customers. And so there's an economic motivation and a business performance motivation that really drives that part of our business. So I would expect to see that continue to grow at a fairly good clip for us.
Companies outsource to you. Have you ever done any outsourcing to India, for example, or can you do that?
Yeah, we have not. And the nature of our business has not really lent itself to that, from the perspective that we continue to still do the majority of the work at our customer locations. And because we tend to be project-oriented, not long-term staff augmentation, most of the things that we do is bring in an advanced technology, enable the company to deploy that technology, and then kind of turn the keys to the kingdom over to the company to operate and manage long-term for themselves. So partly by design, that's been our business strategy, so that we kind of mitigate the risk of offshoring into, you know, a lower cost model against our, you know, our core competencies here in the U.S.
I think I remember last year that the company founder who was leaving was headed off to medical school. Is that what he did?
That is correct. He is a first-year medical student, and I talked to him this weekend. He's working very hard.
Is he here at UW?
He actually is attending Stanford University.
Oh. Huh.
He is working hard now.
Yeah, I bet. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you'd like to talk about?
No, I think we're excited to be able to be, you know, putting down even deeper roots here in the Madison market. We think it's a great environment to build these hosting and managed services centers here, and we look forward to being able to, you know, continue to expand our labor pool and our workforce here in Madison.
Do you do most of your hiring from this area, or how do you recruit?
You know, right now we're spread across 11 locations in 6 states in the upper Midwest, and we continue to see a good labor pool here in Madison, but we're really drawing from all 6 of those states. We've built a fairly innovative training program where we're bringing about 30 new college recruits through about a 6-month training program here in Madison before they move out into our field offices. And so that's been a fun addition to our the build out of our workforce. Incredibly talented young people that are coming out of generally colleges that have a technology focus. We then teach them and round out their capabilities and skill sets, give them project mentoring and an opportunity to get greater certifications, and then move them into our labor pool of available engineering resources. So we expect that to continue. So that training piece will always be here in Madison. In fact, we're building some of the facilities that we're building in the new building will enable just a more efficient way to train those folks.
What states are you in now?
We stretch from Ohio on the east side all the way through Minnesota. Think of it as the Big Ten football conference. We can cheer for somebody every Saturday.
Including Michigan?
Sure, we cheer for them. Hasn't worked the last 2 weeks.
6 states, right?
6 states, yeah.
Have you thought, are there any plans to expand further?
There is. We, you know, one of the real strategies with the CDW combination was to expand into a more national footprint, and clearly they stretch across all 50 states and have a good customer concentration in all those markets. So we will be expanding and growing both organically and potentially through acquisition as we just expand our geographic footprint, kind of taking the model of what Burby is and just expand that across the country.
I think that pretty much runs through my questions. Do you run in the Burby Derby yourself?
Well, I have served as the MC, but I'm well represented by my wife, who has run it every year since we started it. So
wow.
For any of the folks that are interested, we encourage them to sign up at burbyderby.com and come out and have some fun on Thanksgiving morning.
And again, it's 5K?
5K run and walk and a 10K run.
And last question, how long have you been with Burby?
I've been with Burby for a little over, just coming up on my 8-year anniversary in January. January will be mark my 8 years here at Burby.
And before you were with?
Before, I spent about 12 years in the investment banking business working for Robert W. Baird out of Milwaukee.
Oh. Okay.
Great.
I think that does it.
Thanks for coming out.
So I'm going to see you on Thanksgiving?
I would like to.
It's always really popular.